Okay, today's daf is Yom Daf Yud Bet. We're holding at the very top of Yud Bet Amud Aleph. We just proposed a potential solution, which was our third potential solution, resolution between whether or not a Beit Knesset can become Mitameh through Negayim. And what we said was, you can say that the Braita that indicates that it can become Tameh is talking about a Beit Knesset of a Kfar, which is much more private, it's not such a big place, whereas where it cannot become Tameh is a Beit Knesset of a Krach, where it's much larger. But now we're going to challenge that resolution. Udekrachim ein Mitameh b'Negayim, what you're saying, that when it comes to a large city, a Beit Knesset of a large city owned by a lot of, you're used by a lot of people, it can't become Tameh through Negayim, meaning it can't get developed Tzarat. V'hatanya, didn't we learn in the Braita, Achuzatechem Mitameh b'Negayim ve'en Yerushalayim Mitameh b'Negayim. We learned in the Braita that it says the land of your inheritance, right? The land that you inherited. So anything that's in the land that you inherited is subject to become Tameh through Negayim. However, Yerushalayim is not subject to become Tameh through Negayim. Am Rabbi Yehuda, ani lo shamati ela makom mikdash bilvad, ha batei chenesiot uvatei midrashot mitameh b'negayim. And Rabbi Yehuda commented, by the way, I heard that as far as that's concerned, where it's only talking about the makom mikdash itself that's not going to become Tameh Negayim. However, the batei kneset, the batei midrash, those can become Tameh Negayim. Ve'aval gav, did krachim ninu. But even though they're in a krach, in a relatively populated area, Rabbi Yehuda seems to say explicitly in this braita that it can become Tameh Negayim. So how do we say that it's not going to become Tameh Negayim? Here we have a contradiction. Ema, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ani lo shamati ela makom mekudash bilvad. Maybe what Rabbi Yehuda was saying was, I had heard that that only places that are Kodesh cannot become Tameh Negayim. And that would include a Beit Knesset and a Beit Midrash, which are Kodesh places. B'mai kamiflagi. Okay, well, what are they arguing about here? What's the subject of their machloket between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether or not either the Makom Migdash or the Makom Mikudashim can develop Tzara'at? Tanakama Savar Yerushalayim lo nitchalka l'shvatim. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Yerushalayim nitchalka b'shvatim. So according to the Tanakama, Yerushalayim was never divided up among the tribes. It's not individually owned areas, so it can't become Tameh. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was broken up amongst the tribes. It was divided, so it may become Tameh. Uvepluta dahani tanai. And they, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, are following the same machloket of these other Tanaim, Netanya, as we learned in a Braita, we're about to see two Braitas that seem to indicate the Shitas expressed by Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama as to whether or not Yerushalayim was broken up into subdivisions amongst the Shvatim. And again, if it was broken up by the Shvatim, then it was inherited by the Shvatim, in which case it's an Achuza and it can develop Tzara'at. But if you say it's not broken up by the Shvatim and it's publicly owned, then it seemingly cannot develop Tzara'at. So now we have to see these two Shitas inside. Netanya will either write to Me'ayah v'chelko shel Yehuda. What part of the Beit HaMikdash was in the Chelek of Yehuda? Harabayit HaLishakot V'Azarot. Right, so Harabayit itself, and then the chambers in around Harabayit, and then the courtyards. Those are in the portion of Yehuda. Umei Abachal Gosh Binyamin, what was in Binyamin's portion? Ulam V'Heichal V'Teka Uveit Kajakidashim. Right, so the Ulam, the big, large room, V'Heichal, the sanctuary, and the actual Kodesh Kedoshim. Uretzua haita yotze mechelkos Yehuda. There was a strip of land that went out from Yehuda's portion, and it was and it went into a surrounding area of Binyamin. So Binyamin territory was totally surrounding the strip of Yehuda's territory. Uva haya mizbeach banoi, and that's exactly where the mizbeach was, right there in the middle, right there on Yehuda's portion and Binyamin's portion. And Binyamin, the tzaddik, always wanted to take that makom mizbeach for himself. He wanted the makom mizbeach to be in his portion, and it pained him tremendously. Right, that it causes him pain all day long. That's not in his portion. And for that reason, that Binyamin so badly wanted to have the mizbeach in his portion, he became the host boast of the gvura of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Shneimar, as it says, uvei ktev avshachen, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will reside between Binyamin's shoulders. And so we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina resides in the between the kruvim. On the Aaron, in the Kodesh Kedoshim, in Binyamin's portion. So this Tana clearly holds the Yerushalayim was not divided amongst the Shvatim, meaning we just heard from the previous Breita the Chiluk of Yerushalayim into the Shvatim, right? Yehuda and Binyamin. However, the following Tana holds that Yerushalayim was not divided into Shvatim, the Tanya, really, the Breita, Ein, Maskir, in Batim, Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to rent out houses in Yerushalayim, Lefisha, Ein, Ashelahed, because you don't own them. Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, Omer Aflomito, right? You even can't rent out beds. You don't own them. So in order to compensate the innkeepers for their for the use of their resources, they were allowed to take animal hides from the guests who brought in korbanot, right? So that's one braita that seems to say that Yerushalayim was divided, one braita that seems to say Yerushalayim was not divided, and that is the machloket upon which Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama have their further machloket about whether a Beit Knesset can develop tzarat. Because if you say that it was divided by Shvatim, then it's an achuzah and it can develop tzarat, because we said to develop tzarat it has to be in a building that's inherited, in an inherited territory. And if you say that Yerushalayim was not divided by the Shvatim, then it's not an achuzah, it's not an inherited territory. In which case, you don't have the necessary criteria to say that there is a that there is tzarat, that the building can develop tuma from tzarat. Amar Abaye, but just as a follow up to this braita about the innkeeper, Shema Mina Orach Ara Lemishbach Inish Gulfa U Mashka Leushpize. Right, we can learn from here Derech Eret that a person should really leave behind a jug that he was using. While he was staying in the innkeeper's home as a compensation for staying in the home. But wait 1 second. Now we can challenge this this chiluk from yet another direction. Who says that the Bate Knesset in a kfar can become Tamei Negayim? We wanted to say it's more privately owned, so maybe it can become Tamei Negayim. Who says it can become Tamei Negayim just because the Beit Knesset is owned in a smaller territory? Didn't we learn in the Breita? Right, that because it says Achuzah, it needs to be inherited, so it has to be in a Beit Knesset in a conquered territory. Right, but what if they conquered it and didn't divide it into Shvatim? Or if they did divide it amongst the Shvatim, but they didn't divide it amongst the subdivisions in the Shvatim based on families? Or even if they did divided amongst the families, but no one knows exactly what their portion is. Minayim, from where do I know that still it can't become Tamei Negayim, Tamei Loma, or Vashalo Habayit? Right, because the Torah says that you have to come, that you come to the house that is yours, Mishum Yuchad Lo, meaning you have to be able to know that this is my house, that it has to be identifiable, this is your house, Yatzei Elashayim Yuchadin Lo, right? So, which comes to exclude any portion which you don't know that this is your territory. So, just to make that clear, this Braita taught that that we learn from the fact that it needs to be an Achuzah, it needs to be an inherited territory, right? And we learn from Uvash or Lo Habayit that amongst that inherited territory needs to be divided up to the point where every individual knows what his territory is. Meaning that if we're talking about a territory, that not every individual knows this territory is mine, this house is mine within this territory, it still cannot become Tamei Negayim. Now seemingly, with a Beit Knesset, even though it's a Beit Knesset in a kfar, not every individual knows, okay, this chelek of the Beit Knesset is mine, this chelek of the Beit Knesset is yours. No, it's not identifiable. So even though it's a Beit Knesset in a kfar, which is smaller, still seemingly it can't develop tzarat. And that poses a problem to the resolution we wanted to say, that we were talking about a Beit Knesset in a kfar that can develop tzara'at. No, apparently it can't. Rather, let's revert to what we taught initially. We gave two resolutions before this third resolution of the kfar and the krach. So we've got to go back to those because those are much better answers. So we say that we have to prepare a new kohen to take the place of the kohen gadol who has some kind of psul. Pshita, isn't that obvious? Yerubo psul, korum tamir. What we're saying is we're going to talk about how exactly you inaugurate this new kohen gadol. And we said this, pshita, it's obvious. Right, that if there's a psul, if the Kohen Gadol develops some sort of disqualifying feature before the Tamid Shel Shachar, then how do you inaugurate the new Kohen Gadol? You have him do the Tamid Shel Shachar, and that's a clearly noticeable avoda that he's doing in the place of the Kohen Gadol, and that inaugurates him now as the Kohen Gadol before he has to do the avoda of Yom Kippur. Ella, Yerubo Psulachar Tamid Shel Shachar b'mechanachinoto. However, if there's some disqualifying feature that develops in the Kohen Gadol after the Tamid Shel Shachar, the only thing left to do now is the avoda of Yom Kippur. You have to do the avoda of Yom Kippur. But you haven't inaugurated the new one yet. Amar Vadavar Ahava Be'avnet. Right, you haven't put on the special belt of the Kohen Gadol that only the Kohen Gadol wears, and that inaugurates him as the clear Kohen Gadol and his longer Kohen Hedyot. Hanich Lamanda Amar Avnet Shul Kohen Gadol Zeu Avnet Shul Kohen Hedyot. Okay, well that works according to the one who says that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot wear the same Avnet year round. Meaning the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur wears an avnet of linen, and Kohen Gadol year round wears a shatnez belt. So if you want to say that year round the normal Kohen and the Kohen Gadol wear the same shatnez belt, then clearly putting on the belt made of linen on Yom Kippur is an identifying feature of the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Hedyot doesn't wear a belt of linen. He wears the same thing the Kohen Gadol wears year round. But if you say that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot don't wear the same belt year round, if you say that they wear different belts year round, that the Kohen Gadol's belt year round is made of shatnez and the Kohen Hedyot's belt is made of linen, and only on Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol puts on a linen belt, well then that's not an identifying feature, because now the Kohen Gadol is, even though he's doing something differently than he normally does, he's basically doing the same thing that the Kohen Hedyot does, meaning wearing a linen belt. So putting on that belt isn't going to help identify him as the Kohen Gadol. All the Kohen Hedyotim are wearing the belt of linen. Lemeimar, or Ma'ik Lemeimar. So what can we say? What could be said about that shita? Amar Abaye loves shmona me'apach betzinora. Right, according to that shita that says that the Kohen Hedyot wears the linen belt all year round, so you have to say that he should just put on the eight garments, the unique eight garments that the Kohen Gadol wears, and not the Kohen Hedyot, and then he should just turn over the Korban Tamid with a fork, right, in order to speed up the process. Why does turning over the Korban Tamid help? K'derav Huna, the Amar Rav Huna zar hermepich betzinora chayav mito. It says that a non-Kohen who even just turns over the food onto the Mizbeach is Chayav Mita Bidei Shamayim. Meaning we see that as a significant action. So because we see turning over the meat on the Mizbeach as a significant action, what we can say is because the Kohen Gadol was the one who did the Avodah that morning, and it's a significant action just to turn it over, so then if I turn it over on Yom Kippur, it shows that I'm doing something that only the Kohen Gadol should be doing. Okay, Verav Papa. Rav Papa offers another solution, Avodato Mechanchato, right? He says that not doing the Avodah of the Yom Kippur, that's his inauguration, that's what clearly sets him aside, right? And that's fine. Mi lo tanya, because didn't we learn Rabbi to call a kelim she'asa Moshe mishichatan b'kadashtan mikan ve'elech avodatan mechanchatan achanami avodato mechanchato. We learned about the kelim for the Beit HaMikdash, that anything that Moshe made for the Mishkan, so he put, he anointed them with oil, but after, and that was what inaugurated them, but after that, any new kli that was made had to be inaugurated for the Beit HaMikdash. We used it here too. You're inaugurated as a Kohen Gadol by doing the avoda of the Kohen Gadol. Ki atar Rav Dibi Amar Rav Nechel Kohen Hedyot Rabbi Elezer Rabbi Shimon Chad Amar Shel Kilayim Chad Amar Shel Boots. Right. So when Rav Dibi came from above Altar Israel, he said the following. He said the a Kohen Hedyot, a normal Kohen, is subject to a machloket, what kind of belt he wears. Right. The machloket is between Rabbi and Rabbi Elezer. Rabbi Shimon. So one of them says that it's kilayim, and one of them says that it's linen. This time, the Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shel Kilayim. Now let's try to conclude here that Rabbi is the one who says that the normal belt worn by the Kohen Hedyot is a belt of kilayim. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braita, ain ben Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedyot Ela Avnin. That the only difference, the only distinction we can make between the garment of the Kohen Gadol and the garments of the Kohen Hedyot is the belt. Divrei Rabbi. That's Rabbi's shita. That the belt is the only distinguishing feature. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer Af Lo Avnet. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, not even the belt can help you, right? Because they even wear the same belt. Now, Emat, what are we talking about? What are we referring to that the distinguishing features are the belt, or maybe not even the belt, between the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot? If you want to say that we're talking about all year round. The only distinguishing features is either the belt or nothing at all. Tuva Ika. Well, no, year round there are plenty of things that differentiate the Kohen Gadol between the Kohen Hedyo. Kohen Gadol Meshamesh Bishmona, the Hedyo Be'arba. A Kohen Gadol has 8 significant garments that he wears, and a Kohen Hedyo only has 4 significant garments that he wears, right? That being the case, we can't be talking about year round. Rather, we must be talking about Yom Kippur. Elav B'Yom Kippurim, right? So rather, we must be talking about Yom Kippur. So Rebbe says, clearly, if we're talking about Yom Kippur, then Rebbe is the one who says their belts differ on Yom Kippur. Now, what belt does the Kohen Gadol wear on Yom Kippur? He wears a linen belt. And so if that's different than what the Kohen Hedyo wears, the Kohen Hedyo must wear a shatnez belt. And that's how we can use this braita as a proof that Rebbe is the one who holds that a Kohen Hedyo wears the shatnez belt. Amri lo, they responded to that conclusion, that svara, that's not necessarily the case, because your whole shita is built on the premise that we're talking about Yom Kippur, Le'ula Mishayim Adashana, but it could just as easily be talking about all the other days of the year, Ubahanach Deshavin, right? And where you said your proof that there are more distinguishing features between the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyo, namely the 4 garments and the 8 garments, we didn't mean that the belt is the only thing that could differentiate between them. What we meant is that within the 4 garments they have in common, there are no differentiating features, right? So we're not including the addition of a garment to be a difference. We're talking about within the garments that they share, there are no differentiating features, right? And so you can't conclude that we're definitely talking about Yom Kippur here, and you have no proof that that's Rabbi Shita. Ki ata Ravin Amar, when Ravin came from Eretz Israel, he said, Av Nefesh HaKohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim Divrei HaKol Putz. Everyone agrees that the belt worn by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is made of linen. B'Shayim HaDashana Divrei HaKol Putz Kilayim. And everyone agrees that the rest of the year the Kohen Gadol wears a Kilayim belt. Lo Nechku El Av Nefesh HaKohen Hedyot. And the only machloket that exists is when it comes to the belt of a normal Kohen, Ben B'Shayim HaDashana Ben B'Yom Kippur. Now, then they have the machloket both on Yom Kippur and the rest of the year. Should Rabbi Omer Shal Kilayim? Rabbi says that they wear Kilayim. They always wear Kilayim belts. Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon Omer Shal boots. According to Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, that they wear linen belts. They always wear linen belts. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Af Anan Amitanina. We also have a brayta that teaches this. Al Bisro. Right, the Kohen, the pasuk says that you put the belt on his flesh. Tamatam lomar gilbash, but since it already says put it on his flesh, what do we learn from the additional pasuk of he should wear it? We know he should wear it. You have to put it on him. Lavi mitznefet vavne l'harumat hadeshen. Right, that's to teach you that there are additional things he has to wear for taking out the ash, namely the turban and the belt. Div Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Rabbi Dosa Omer lahavi bigde kohen gadol b'yom kippurin. No, the Yilbash teaches you something else. It teaches you that the begadim of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur are actually kosher for a Kohen Hedyot to wear as well. Rabbi Omer Shtei Tshuvot Bedavar, and Rabbi responded to it with two of the following rejections. He says there are 2 ways to reject what you just said there, that the begadim of the Kohen Gadol are kosher for the Kohen Hedyot to wear. One of them, the Avnito Shel Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim, Loz Avnito Shel Kohen Hedyot, that the belt that the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippur is not the belt the Kohen Hedyot wears, meaning that the belt the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippur is linen and the Kohen Hedyot is wearing a shatnez belt. So how can you tell me that his begadim, that the Kohen Gadol's Yom Kippur begadim are kosher for a Kohen Hedyot? It's a different belt. Furthermore, another problem with suggesting that it's kosher for the avoda of a Kohen Hedyot is begadim shenishtamsha behen kedusha chamur tishamish behen kedusha kala. Right? Could you say that the garments that have already been used for a higher significant, for a higher kedusha, higher level of kedusha, can now be used for a lower level of kedusha purpose? Elamata malar yilvash. Rather, what do we learn from the word yilvash? Lerabot eta shechakin. Right, to come to include that even a worn out garment is still fit for use. Ve'azda Rabbi Dosa latame. And clearly, Rabbi Dosa was consistent with his own sheet, as mentioned elsewhere. To Tanya is willing to learn a brayta. Right, you should put them on the side. Ma milamet chetuunin geniza. Right, it comes to teach you that the garments worn by the Kohen Gadol need to be put on the side, meaning they need to be put away, not used. Rabbi Dosa Amar Shlo Yishtamesh Ben Yom Kippurim Acher. Right, Rabbi Dosa comes to say that no. What does it mean that they can't put them on the side? That you have to put them on the side, not to say that they need geniza, but rather they can never be used on another Yom Kippur. Right, but that doesn't mean a Kohen Hedyot can't use them the next day. It just means that the Kohen Gadol can't use them next day. next Yom Kippur. Tanu Rabbanan irabo pesul umina acher tachta. So the rabbis taught in the following braita, if the Kohen Gadol had some sort of disqualifying factor, so we appoint a new one in his place. Rishon chozer l'avarato. Now, once the disqualifying factor is mitigated, so the first Kohen goes back to his position. And Sheni kol mitzvot kahuna gedola alav. And the Sheni has to keep all the chumras of a Kohen Gadol. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Yossi Omer Rishon chozel avodato. Sheni ein roi lo Kohen Gadol lo Kohen Hedyot. And so the first one, according to Rabbi Yossi, he says, well, the first one goes back to his position because now he's not pasul anymore. And the second one, he can't be a Kohen Gadol and it can't be a Kohen Hedyot. Either he has nothing to do. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Maase bi Yosef ben Elam b'tzipori. There was a certain event, incident that happened to Yosef, the son of Elam in Tzipori, that there was a disqualifying feature in the Kohen Gadol, and they appointed him in his place. The first Kohen should go back to his place, and the second one, he can't be a Kohen Gadol, and he can't be Kohen Hedyot. Kohen Gadol Mishum Eva, Kohen Hedyot Mishum Ma'alim Kodesh Ve'Moridin. Right? We can't have him become a Kohen Gadol because, well, you can't have competing Kohen Gadols. That's not good for Klal Yisrael. You can't have two leaders who have jealousy one or the other, so we need to keep one clear leader. But the Kohen Hedyot, he can't be because he's already been a Kohen Gadol. How are you supposed to demote him to a Kohen Hedyot? He was already a higher level of Kedusha. Amar Rabbi Berchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, that is not fit to be either one. Umod Rabbi Yosi, Shem Avar Avad, Avratok Shera. Even Rabbi Yosi agrees that if the Kohen Gadol, if the former Kohen Gadol, who's now been demoted and can't be the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen Hedyot, does the Avodah anyway, it works, it's still good. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Umod Rabbi Yosi, Shem made Rishon Shechozer L'Avarato. And even Rabbi Yosi agrees that if the Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol retakes his position, dies, the second Kohen Gadol can be reappointed to the Kohen Gadol. Pshita, obviously, what's the problem? Mahoratema havilet Sara Mechayim Kamash Malan. Because you may have assumed that this Kohen Gadol is going to be hoping that this, you know, the previous Kohen Gadol is going to be hoping that the first Kohen Gadol dies while he's still alive. He's like, I can't wait to be Kohen Gadol again. He's going to start hoping that he's dying. That he's dying. So that's, you may have had that concern, but Kamash Malan, we don't have that concern. And once the Kohen Gadol dies, the second one can be reappointed. We'll stop here.